Russian forces continue to attack residential areas in cities across Ukraine. And it's not just a matter of where Russia is dropping bombs, it's also what kind of bombs the Russians are using. Here's U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield last week.
We've seen videos of Russian forces moving exceptionally lethal weaponry into Ukraine, which has no place on the battlefield. That includes cluster munitions and vacuum bombs, which are banned under the Geneva Convention.
Let's take a deeper look at what's happening on the battlefield. David Johnson is a retired Army colonel, now a researcher with the RAND Corporation. And before we bring him in, a warning that this conversation includes graphic descriptions of war. David, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. So we just heard Linda Thomas-Greenfield mention cluster bombs. What are they exactly?
If you think of a howitzer projectile, normally it's one explosive round. A cluster munition is a number of submunitions inside of that round. And they spread over an area so there's more coverage, and each one of them has its own explosive charge.
Now, we've seen video in news reports of Russians allegedly using these bombs on civilian targets. And as you describe, it's almost like one explosion and then another one quickly somewhere else, and then a third one and a fourth one. Why would they use those weapons? What kind of tactical advantage would it give them?
So the tactical advantage is you cover a wider area. I just want to be really clear about one thing the ambassador said. These weapons are not prohibited under the Geneva Convention. They are prohibited for use against civilians, as are any other weapon system. The United States has cluster munitions. The problem with them in use is some of those submunitions don't go off and they leave unexploded ordnance or duds, which civilians can step on or pick up later on. That's one of the areas that was really problematic in Afghanistan after the Russians were there. They use them quite widely. But the weapon themselves are not banned, and I think that's an important thing to focus on.
Well, my understanding is that most countries, in fact, have agreed not to use them under an international convention from 2010, but Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. are not among them.
So my point is that means that there is an agreement among nations, not a legal covenant signed by all the nations like the Geneva Convention.
I see. Well, regardless, the International Criminal Court is opening an investigation into possible war crimes by Russia. This is related to the use of these types of bombs on civilians, right? So
right.
Here's CNN's Jake Tapper asking U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken if the U.S. had seen evidence of war crimes. Let's listen.
Jake, we've seen very credible reports of deliberate attacks on civilians, which would constitute a war crime. We've seen very credible reports about the use of certain weapons. And what we're doing right now is documenting all of this, putting it all together, looking at it, and making sure that as people and the appropriate organizations and institutions investigate whether war crimes have been or are being committed, that we can support whatever they're doing.
So Russia, as we know, denies that it's targeted civilians, but we've seen the images on TV. Do you think there's evidence that Russia has committed war crimes so far?
Yeah, I do. The indiscriminate use of these weapons against civilians is a war crime. And the law of armed conflict clearly, stipulates that using weapons of any kind indiscriminately against civilians is against the covenant.
I want to take a moment now to just talk about another one of these weapons that has come up in this conversation, vacuum bombs or thermobaric weapons. Is that right? What are those?
Correct. A way to start this is explaining what they are and why they're different than other weapons. Most bombs or artillery shells that we think of are devices that have an explosive inside, and the body of the projectile becomes the mechanism along with the blast that causes casualties with fragmentation of the pieces of steel flying out at high velocity. Mm-hmm. So a thermobaric does not use that mechanism. What it does, say, two-stage system that the first stage dispenses an aerosol, like vaporized gasoline is probably the best way to think of it, that seeps into places, and the second part ignites it. A DIA report, Defense Intelligence Agency report from 1993 describes what happens. The kill mechanism against living targets is unique and unpleasant. What kills is the pressure wave and, more importantly, the subsequent rarefaction or vacuum, which ruptures the lungs. If the fuel lights but does not detonate, victims will be severely burned, will probably inhale burning fuel. So it's not this danger of pieces of metal coming at you. You're essentially in the middle of a complication where the air is sucked out and it's a huge fireball.
Oh my gosh.
It's a horrible
weapon.
Forgive
me. That sounds absolutely horrifying. Well, why use
it? It is. Well, I think the reason the Russians use them in Grozny, and there's use in Syria. The Iraqis actually use TOS-1s, which are the Russian system that they had in their inventory against ISIS. They are very effective in clearing buildings and cave complexes or fortifications, because you don't have to send someone into the building with a rifle to try and go after each person.
Hmm. If I'm not mistaken, the United States also used one of these weapons in Afghanistan. I think it was in Tora Bora on a cave complex. It was called the mother of all bombs. But just to be clear, is there any reason why you see that Russia would need to use a weapon like that in Ukraine?
If they are facing determined opposition from a set of structures, buildings, that's what they did in Grozny. And I think the other thing to keep in mind about the way the Russians operate, in Grozny, essentially, during the Second Chechen War, they told the citizens they had a certain number of days to leave. There were quarters for them to evacuate. And if they were there after that time, they were considered terrorists or combatants, when we all know that a lot of people could not get out.
Yeah. Look, I think the elephant in the room here is that Russia has other tools at its disposal. It has more nuclear weapons than any country on the planet. And if this war were to escalate to that point, God forbid, what kind of bombs could Russia use and how could they be deployed?
They have a range of nuclear systems, going from artillery-delivered small ones, which we also had during the Cold War. The Bush administration got rid of the tactical nuclear weapons we had. But when I was a major in Germany in the 1980s, every howitzer in Europe had a nuclear mission with low-yield nuclear weapons.
Oh, so in other words, it wouldn't all-out destroy a city. It would just be incredibly powerful in a more localized basis.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying? In
kilotons, I think most of these weapons were less than 10 kilotons. So they're not city destroyers. What the real problem is for the Ukrainians, if they're found and located and the Russians use them against a formation, you have enormous losses in that formation. They would also obviously cause enormous damage to any city. And then you gradually go up from, these tactical systems to the strategic systems, which are essentially, you're at a point where you're talking about thermonuclear weapons that have, megatons of destruction that are what we all lived in fear of during the Cold War.
I mean, I hate to even ask you that last question because it seems so terrifying, and clearly we're not there yet, but how concerned are you that at least some of these weapons could be deployed?
So, I mean, there was a discussion about, in the defense literature, about escalate to de-escalate, where in a certain set of conditions, Russians would use tactical nuclear weapons to either protect their own forces or to say, we've had enough, you continuing, we're going to start escalating. I really can't imagine what's in Putin's mind, but a condition where he thinks he's going to lose a lot of people, he may use them at the tactical level. But I really kind of doubt that, because the dangers of escalation are so significant. And at the tactical level, other than as a signal that he's prepared to escalate, he has plenty of systems in his arsenal that he can use before he ever gets to that bright, bright, horrible line.
David Johnson is a retired Army colonel and principal researcher with the RAND Corporation. Thank you so much for your expertise. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, yourself. Take care.